We're talking today with Mark Hodges with Plains Grains. Mark, let's talk about maybe to give some folks a little perspective on where we're headed into 2015 now. We've got the wheat crop pretty well in the ground. Most of it's emerged. But let's back up and talk a little bit about how bad in perspective now looking backwards with a little bit of, you know, 2-3 months now since harvest to give us a little perspective. How tough 2014 of a crop it really was.
Well, of course, it's obviously the worst crop in my lifetime, and I think you could probably talk to anybody that's alive today, and they would tell you that it's probably any farmer, and they'd tell you it's probably the worst wheat crop they've ever seen as well. You know, you get under 50 million bushels in Oklahoma, and that's a extremely bad, obviously, wheat crop. And the sad thing about it was coming out of the fall into the winter, we were really right where we needed to be from the standpoint of we had a good root system under the crop last year. We had good tillering. We had some soil moisture in the profile, not an exorbitant amount, but you really don't need much over the wintertime. Mm-hmm. But, boy, when we went into winter, we just didn't get any more moisture. And all the way to harvest, and of course, when harvest got here, it did start raining, and which wasn't necessarily the best thing from a quality standpoint, but we did end up with some very good quality.
So, you know, as we think about the 2014 crop, that, you know, that had impact on acres, it seems like, for the crop that was basically zeroed out in a lot of cases for insurance. Guys went back in with some spring planted crops, and that's probably cut our acres some, right?
It probably has because, of course, you know, again, I lay off that short crop on a drought, but that rain or precipitation that we got right at harvest was really a determining factor about with some of those guys about being able to go back in with a spring crop or summer crop like sorghum, corn, soybeans, whatever it was. And those took up a lot of those acres where producers may have been in a wheat rotation. Now they've got it used in the summer crop, and either that crop wasn't off or isn't off in time to go back with wheat, or they're going to let it lay out till next year.
When we think about the 2015 crop, give me a kind of a, you know, a thumbnail of what you're seeing right now, not just here in Oklahoma, but across the Southern Great Plains.
Well, I think this is true across Southern Great Plains in general. You know, the crop has gone in very well into moisture for the most part. We're well ahead of the 5-year averages on emergence and that kind of thing, and plant development. So, you know, I feel pretty good about where we are. You know, we've got a good root system under this crop like we did last year. We've got good tillering like we did last year. And as a matter of fact, there's several cattle out on wheat right now, which is a testament to how well the plants developed. We've got good soil moisture in the profile. And as a matter of fact, I think we're better off than we were last year from that standpoint. And again, in general, we've got more moisture in the profile than we had last year. But as last year was a testament to, unless we continue to get timely moisture, especially when we break dormancy in the spring, if we can continue to get timely moisture, you know, we've got to start on a pretty good wheat crop. But on the other hand, like last year, if we don't get that moisture, we're going to be in trouble.
So potential is there for, I don't know, well, I'm not even sure what normal is, but potential is there for a pretty good crop for the 2015 spring growing season and then harvest.
That's right. And, of course, as the old saying goes, we got the potential for a great wheat crop, and there's a lot of things that can happen between now and harvest, and none of them are good. But, no, in general, yeah, we're off to a good start. We have the potential to produce an average crop, as you mentioned, whatever that is. But I feel pretty good about where we are right now in general.
Put your OGI hat, if you might, on for a moment, Oklahoma Genetics. What was the challenge coming from the 2014 harvest season of getting enough seed and being ready for planting using the OGI varieties this fall?
Logistics. It wasn't an issue necessarily of not having enough seed. The issue was, could we move the seed that we had of our varieties into the areas that needed it? And I think for the most part, we got that done. Now, I think if you look at the varieties that were planted or are being planted this year. Whenever those numbers come out, I think you're going to see maybe a little bit of shift from maybe the more popular ones right now, like the Gallagher's, Ibas, Ruby Leeds, et cetera. You may see a little more of the older varieties, the Billings. Garrison has been out there a while, too. You're going to see, and Duster, you're going to see more of those planted probably than in the past. But I think, again, it's a matter of logistics. That's what those guys in those specific areas had availability of. And so instead of trying to logistically get a Gallagher, Iba, Ruby Lee, they just went ahead and either purchased or planted what they had availability of.
So we don't have the variety numbers yet, but you're saying that it's going to be spread out quite a bit more as far as some of these, both the older varieties as well as some of the new, newer, more sexier or sizzling type varieties.
And not dramatically so, but I think you'll see some increases in those older variety numbers just because of what I outlined.
What's Dr. Carver indicating to you that maybe out there to be considered over the next year or so that may be added to the Oklahoma genetics stable?
How much time do we have? I mean, obviously he's an outstanding breeder, world class, best in the world in my opinion, and so everything he has, and especially in the elite class in the final stages before release, is extremely widely adaptable. And so, you know, I'd hate to predict what a wheat breeder would do. That'd be probably dangerous for me. But he does have several in the pipeline. There's a lot of opportunities out there for release this coming year. I'll let him address those. But I can also tell you we have tried to diversify what we do based on what he has in his program. I may have mentioned before, but you know, we grow 7-8 million bushels of soft wheat in Oklahoma. We have no released soft wheats out of Oklahoma State. And obviously we would keep those and want to keep those to the east of I-35. But we got some tremendous opportunities for soft wheat that's a little higher protein, and especially in the Latin American market, which we've been trying to develop. And he's got a couple of soft reds he's looking at. He's got a soft white he's looking at. And from a yield standpoint, they're just phenomenal. And the other opportunity we have from a soft wheat standpoint is if you look at soft wheat production in the United States, which is basically from the Mississippi East, the bulk of it, it's a rotational crop. And there isn't a lot of focus on quality in that soft wheat. Well, we have an opportunity, because of where we're located, to focus on that quality. And again, as I mentioned, we've already got customers that are seeking higher protein soft wheats going into Latin America. And that, you know, we've got opportunities in eastern Oklahoma, North Texas, Arkansas. I mean, there's a lot of area that we could get into from a quality and marketing standpoint. So we're excited about that. And of course, as I mentioned to you before, we did pick up four a wheat, a rye, a triticale, and an oat from Noble Foundation. And they're all forage, even the wheat's forage type. It's not meant for grain production. But we're very excited about that. The forage production on the forage wheat has been phenomenal this fall. And so we're excited about working with Noble Foundation to market those as well.